Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 5th of July, recording at 9:06 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. Asian stock markets were mostly firm in here, nothing spectacular. The exception to that firmness was the China market, the Chinese A-shares. We had a fall of over 5% in here today on supply concerns. That's new flotations and also an announcement of some big bond sales to come from China. And that's government bond sales. And mopping up some of that liquidity, in other words. In the European markets, they started with modest gains, but then headed south and closed with mostly smallish losses, running into a little resistance from the higher side of the ranges, probably. And the U.S. market was down most of the day, but then closed a little bit firmer. Well, the Dow was down 11.5, but the S&P was up 0.5 point, and the NASDAQ was up 11 ticks. That's the NASDAQ composite. So not a bad recovery. Elsewhere, though, these bonds are weak. U.S. Treasury is down almost a full point. That's the 30-year Treasury. The bunds were hit fairly hard. Gilts are back down by their lows. So that needs to be watched here, because we're getting retracement of what has never looked like more than a technical rally. And in currencies, the U.S. dollar was down initially, and then it steadied a bit. And precious metals, they were up and then came off as the dollar rallied. The exception to that was platinum, which was quite firm, seesawed a little bit, but ended up $9.60 at 1303.80 on the July. July position. And industrial metals, mostly a little easier, except aluminium was up a fraction, but copper was quite strong in here. Copper has been really strong in the last week or more. And soft commodities, mixed. The grain and bean complex was firmer in here today, particularly wheat. Meats, incidentally, have been very, very weak. I haven't checked them today, but they have certainly given up a lot of ground, taking some heat off the food price inflation, at least as far as those U.S. contracts are concerned. Now, what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of stock markets, it's a pretty steady performance overall, although a lot of markets are in trading ranges, sort of short-term trading ranges, and they've been hovering there for several weeks. Now, that's good because they are overextended. They're not breaking down, but they are getting a bit of that mean reversion towards the 200-day moving average that I've talked about so often. The strongest of the strong have maintained their small ranging upward trends. Not too much accelerating up here, except some of those Balkan markets, which Owen wrote about today. That's a thin supply situation. And what goes up in that type of environment will eventually come down in that type of environment when the weight of money that is driving them up, it tries to get out of those thin markets. But not yet. The money's still flowing in and pushing them up. And I won't guess as to when that will end. Now, the charts will show us. Now, also, we've had some important new breakouts recently. As you know, if you've been listening to the audios and looking at comments, they include Thailand. What a sleeper that's been for a long time. Could be a real outperformer if they get a decent resolution to the constitutional item and an orderly procedure into electing a new government. It may sound fairly iffy, but it's certainly not beyond the bounds of possibilities for the Thais to pull that off, and I hope they do. That could certainly catapult the market higher. India, very firm recently, closed down a fraction today, but well off the lows. And I think it had been a new issue that had pushed it down, a bit of more supply coming in, but it rallied well. That's a market that's really poised to move in here. And then those long-ranging, or until a few months ago, markets, some of those North Asian markets, South Korea, very strong overall, Taiwan, really in form here right now. And the Hang Seng has been doing extremely well. Japan's still lagging here, it's a bit iffy, but the second section has been recovering well, having underperformed for so long. Had a big upward day today. So overall, the bulls are still very much in charge here as far as these global stock markets are concerned. Now, the vulnerability, though, is in these long-dated government bond yields, and that does need to be watched. If bonds just mess around and range above their lows, then that's not going to be much of a problem. But if we get persistent rises in the yields, then that will cause problems for stock markets. Now, I'm on record over the last month or so as saying that there was no reason, once that bond sell-off became overextended, and it certainly did, that was very clear on the charts, and then lost downward momentum, that there was we were, of course, in an environment for a technical rally. I haven't been looking for more than that. But I've also said that I didn't see any reason why bond yields, long-dated government bond yields, should go on another upside blitz at this time. Fundamentally, I don't think it's justified. But of course, the trouble with markets is that they run on sentiment and liquidity, and since a lot of people had been in denial on the bear market for bonds and then suddenly woke up to that reality, or got a reality check, to coin a phrase, as bonds weakened so much 2, 3 months ago, that they may well drive those yields higher, even though, as I'm saying, that in terms of short-term inflationary pressures, even medium-term inflationary pressures, I don't think it's really all that justified. But markets, as you know, have their own psychology that propels them along, and I'm not telling this bond market what to do. I'm just watching with interest and explaining the background, I trust. The concern on inflation, if there is one, is with the oil price, which remains firm. Now, this keeps dipping and then picking up again, and it's up 35 cents here today as I speak, 71.76. And really, this chart, if you've looked at it, and we've posted it from time to time, remains very, very bullish overall. The dollar is short-term oversold. That means it's a wee bit overextended, and it has fallen back to some support levels. If you look at the dollar index, you look at the euro against the dollar, and so on. I really don't think we can see more than a dead cat bounce here. And I think one of the big stories for the second half of the year will be a deterioration in the dollar, a further deterioration in the dollar, and it may well pick up speed because mostly we've just had a sort of a ranging environment, and the dollar, go back a couple of years and 2.5 years, and the dollar reached an important low, and then it ranged a bit higher over a year and a bit, and then it ranged back down. But we are on the threshold of some more important breakouts. You've already seen some, as I wrote about yesterday, so I won't repeat all that. And I think, again, as I say, to repeat this point, that I think that a weaker dollar is quite likely to be one of the important stories for the second half of the year. Now, if it's an orderly retreat, then that's not too much of a problem, maybe not a problem at all, although American domiciled subscribers are not going to be happy to hear about their loss of international purchasing power, I would assume. But it's not bad for the stock market because what it does is that it enables the multinational companies which consolidate their earnings in a weaker dollar. That boosts their earnings, their reported earnings, as they convert out of strong currencies back into dollars from their sales in those harder currencies. And also, it makes U.S. assets cheaper for everyone else. So, a gently declining currency, more often than not, is a tailwind for the stock market. But if the breakouts accelerate, and there's some big psychological levels, say you get the euro up above 140, and I think we will, and perhaps more importantly, you get the dollar index down below 80, and this may well become emotional. And if that's the case, that will cause a little bit of havoc in here. It would certainly revive the gold market and other precious metals, I suspect. And it would probably be bearish for bonds, certainly the US bonds. And it may well cast a shadow, or there may well be a leash effect from that. And if people regarded it as a crisis, a weaker currency would turn from a tailwind for the stock market into a headwind, potentially quite a strong headwind. So these are things that we need to be concerned about out there, but when I outline them, it's just so that we have focal points, things to watch. Watch the bonds, watch the dollar in here. I've mentioned this before over many, many months. Watch the oil price. And obviously watch the trends here for all of these stock markets. And we don't have a crisis environment here right now. What we have had an environment is where people have been issuing so many warnings that has helped to hold markets in check a little bit. It'd be far more dangerous if we were getting Dow 36,000 forecasts in here, and fortunately we're not. Okay, point made. And metals overall, expect plenty of ranging. They've had awfully good gains. Precious metals are oversold in my view, in a buying area, but the performance is weak and it's a global beauty contest. So really, until we get some upper dynamics, and we haven't had any upper dynamics, they may just continue to underperform, certainly relative to some of these high-performing stock markets right now. Soft commodities, where you see the bases, where you see the uptrends, we would certainly expect additional gains. They are in the majority, but there are the weak ones, as I say, which I mentioned before, the livestock complex, for example. They certainly are weak. Orange juice, still weak. Okay, no doubt we'll have a lively day tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see if the Asian markets, those inform Asian markets, if they extend their gains tomorrow or succumb to a little bit of profit taking, which would hardly be surprising. Meanwhile, all the very best.